the more data you have, the more chances of you having bloated data. And the more data you have, the less of it's going to be accurate, the less of it's going to be relevant. And it doesn't just cause issues in terms of security or if there's a data breach. It gives decision fatigue. It takes you so much longer to analyze it. You don't even know what to do anymore. It's causing problems for everyone. It's causing problems for the business.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, well, each month we focus on a different marketing method. It could be email or SEO or Facebook ads. And each week I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. Huge thank you this episode to Janice Thomas from Look Fabulous Forever for the excellent recommendation of this guest, as you are just about to hear. I've been hunting for a great GDPR person for ages, so it was really great to get this intro to Siobhan. This month, we're having a bit of an eclectic month. We're not focused on just email or SEO or another marketing channel. We're looking into all those things that have been changed due to privacy law changes over the last few years. Both looking directly at those. So we've had an episode where we looked at cookies. We've got this episode where we're looking at data like email data, etc. And we've also looked at analytics and attribution, which of course are big challenges caused by the whole privacy changes. Bit of an eclectic month, but one to really get you thinking and probably spark some big projects for the new year. In this episode, we are getting deep into GDPR and data legislation when it comes down to your marketing data. And whilst we are going to talk about GDPR throughout the episode, as you're about to hear, all the concepts, ideas, processes that we're talking about are actually ones that whether you care about GDPR or whether you're involved with one of the other data protection pieces based on where you are in the world or where your customers are. These are super sensible things to be doing to make your business more efficient, more profitable, more successful, to help you look after your customers better, as well as stay on the right side of the law. So don't hear GDPR and think, I'm in the US, I can switch off, because you're going to get a lot out of this one too. So make sure you listen right to the end, because at the end, my guest will be sharing her quickfire insider tips to help you maximize the performance of your business, which includes an amazing resource she's got to help you wherever you're dealing with data challenges to make that an awful lot easier. And I will be sharing my take on it all and outlining a couple of other free ways we can help you. So stay tuned to the end. Did you know that Safari deletes all of your website's visitor data every 7 days? Since Apple deprecated third-party cookies, most brands' retargeted audience size has been slashed by 40%. Amerce fixes this in just one click. The Amerce first-party data app extends your data tracking to 1 year instead of 7 days, automatically adding 40% more customer data to your existing email flows and paid ads audiences. Brands with Amerce installed see 20% more email revenue and a 40% increase in event match quality across Meta and Google. It literally takes just 15 minutes to install, and you never have to do anything after. Just let the revenue roll in. Sign up for your 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE. In this episode, I'm chatting with privacy expert Siobhan Solberg. Siobhan is a data protection consultant with a growth mindset. How cool is that? She founded her consultancy Raise back in 2018 to help businesses take control of and optimize their marketing data. Hello, Siobhan.
Hi, Chloe. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. Trying to find the right data protection consultant is hard because all the data protection has certain levels of gray, and you want someone who interprets it in a way similar to you. So I love the fact that you have that growth mindset. Before I waffle on about that, how did you end up in attribution and privacy? What was your route to this space?
Yeah, I think it all stems in marketing, or not even marketing, more like business intelligence and data. I worked in data analytics and business intelligence for quite a while. And then branched off on my own and went into optimization and measurement marketing. So coming from that background, it's quite natural for me to be the type of consultant I am now. But it all sort of started when the GDPR came into play and curiosity got the better of me. That eventually led to me pretty much only working in data protection now, and mostly with marketing teams, you know, getting them to understand how to manage all of these kind of roadblocks that you get with all the compliance. And also I work with a lot of mostly tech startups on how to make sure that they stay compliant within, you know, privacy regulations, but at the same time still get to innovate and grow their company, which is essential to them.
Yeah, this is one of those areas where we think we've got it bad in e-commerce, but then you start looking into other sectors like tech, where you're dealing with the data of your customers and additional layers of data and often all kinds of different pieces of data. And actually, in the e-commerce space with our marketing data, it's not that complicated.
No, it's actually pretty straightforward. I mean, I know the e-commerce space quite well, and it is, okay, once you understand it, then things might change a little bit. But because most e-commerce space shops are not innovating and creating completely new solutions, they have the same way of handling data. And once they have that down, they're usually okay, which is good news.
It is good news. It's like, oh, cool. Over there, it's really complicated. And we're kind of in the easy place where everyone just has to do the same thing. Good news, everybody. Good news. So, Siobhan, I was racking my brains about how to kind of kick us off into this discussion about GDPR. And I think it's, and obviously other data legislation we care about too, but I feel like we've reached the point with it. It's kind of vaguely bedded in now. We all know we legally have to care about it. But there's also a bit of a business case these days to caring about it too. So why should we care about getting our data in order?
I think ultimately it comes down to the customer, and it always does, doesn't it? I mean, for us, if we're good marketers, we always know it ends up the customer, like it's all about the customer. And it's the same with any data protection or privacy element and regulations. It is about them and it's about respecting their data. And because privacy and data protection regulations have become a lot more, let's see, a lot more forefront, like everyone knows about them, let's say, okay? So what happens is there's a demand now from consumers that you do respect their data. It's not a nice to have anymore, right? It's a have to have. That's how I like to usually put it. Meaning it's being demanded by pretty much everyone. Therefore, it's time for you to get your act together and give them what they want, because that's what's going to get you ahead of the game. I mean, it sounds silly, right? But we don't like any of these pop-up banners that we see. But at this point, if you end up coming to a store and you didn't see a banner, you'd get suspicious because you're so used to seeing that banner now. And those that are saying, I don't want to have a banner, it's backfiring because it's now looked upon or frowned upon to when you don't have one. So it all falls into this, you know, concept that we have in marketing where you build your customers' trust, and data protection and privacy is just part of that now. And the more you can bring that to the forefront and the more you can use that and explain that and be transparent about what you do, the more likely it is that that person is going to trust you more than the other person, the other company that didn't, and stay with you. And the same then goes into retention, right? We all know that trust plays within retention. So as you're trying to retain your customer, providing that you treat their data respectfully, they're more likely to stick around than somebody who is then selling their email address or using it to market them incorrectly or constantly bombarding them with additional marketing emails that they didn't ask to have sent to them. So that's ultimately the business case, is you need to do it so that people can trust you. You just need to learn how to utilize it so that you can show that you're doing it well and that people therefore will trust you more.
It is quite remarkable how quickly a lot of the GDPR legislation impact has become something that we just see as business as usual from as a consumer. You know, how quickly those things that back when it was first coming, well, oh, that's ridiculous. You know, all of us are that's ridiculous. No one's ever, it's going to be years before anyone really cares. And it's like the speed at which from the consumer's perspective, it's just become normal. Completely normal I have to deal with privacy pop-ups. Completely normal I have to make choices. It's quite remarkable, I think, compared to how I certainly thought it would evolve when this all first came in. Have you found that it's happening faster?
Yeah, it is quite remarkable how quickly it's become the norm. I don't necessarily think that everyone understands yet what it all means, but how it affects your user experience has become the norm. And anything that's outside the norm makes people feel a little bit squeamish. But it's also, if you look at a lot of the surveys and reports of more recently, let's say the last 2 or 3 years, you'll see that people are at least saying that they care more about their privacy and that they will make decisions based off of how companies are using their data. I'm saying that they're saying this because a lot of them still act differently. But I think if you would have asked those same set of people 5 years ago, that wouldn't have been part of the conversation. And now they are very clearly saying, of course, we care about privacy. No, we don't want you to share our data. We're going to leave you if you share our data, if we think, you know, you have any kind of shady data practices. And none of that would have really been part of any consumer report 5 or 10 years ago. So the fact that they're saying it is a step in that direction. And it also needs to wake everyone else up that, you know, runs a business or is a marketer to say, wait, there's clearly enough awareness here that we need to respond to this and honor that. They're not necessarily acting on this. We already know that because there is this element of convenience where if it's inconvenient, then which way do you go? And that really depends. I think it is shifting even in the acting aspect of things, but that will take a little bit longer. Ultimately, I think this is a really great time for marketers and business owners to kind of take note of what people are saying and act on it and try and build out how they're going to work with all of this so that by the time people are acting on what they're saying they appreciate or want, you're ready.
That's the thing, isn't it? Now is the time to get your house in order, basically, because sooner or later, the consumers are going to start acting the way they're thinking, not just saying it to look good in surveys, which
exactly. The
forever nightmare for the marketer. People say don't say what they actually do, but we know, so we can deal with it. And it does give us that breathing space to get caught up and to get ready for when they do start acting. I think one of the other things which I've seen kind of adapt with GDPR coming in was like, oh, this isn't a set and forget. This is something we have to actually actively do. And I think many people breathe such a big sigh of relief when they've done the foundational stuff. They kind of forgot the day to day. So now we're a few years down the line. How much should we be doing day to day to keep ourselves compliant in terms of, you know, writing out legitimate interest things, can't remember the correct name for them. You can let us know in a second. And how, you know, managing the data, how much should this become an additional action in our weeks, in our months to keep us on top of our GDPR? A complicated question, I know.
Yes, it's complicated. And it's also very dependent on what position you have within a company. I think it all starts with the culture of the company, as most things. Right, that if everyone is somewhat aligned about your internal policies towards how to handle data and what's okay and what's not, that's a huge step because it allows everyone to somewhat understand what they need to do on the day-to-day, and it becomes a bit more second nature. So I think this is something that a lot of people forgot. Like you said, people would say, okay, GDPR, set it and it's done. It's a little checklist and we're good. And then they forgot that everyone on the team, especially those interacting with customers in any way, customer support, marketing, email marketers, you know, anything like this, they need to understand what the company-wide policy towards data is and how to manage it so that they can honor that. And especially the customer-facing roles such as customer support. They also need to understand, obviously, whatever rules regulate the area they're in. So the GDPR is a very complex piece of regulation, you know, and then there's the PECR, you call it in the UK, or e-privacy, which also regulates some elements of marketing. So the marketing team has certain parts of GDPR and PECR that are important, and there are whole sections of the GDPR that are not relevant to them, but they might be relevant to the data team or to the business development team. So I think it is very important for every company, even if you just have a 2-hour workshop that's specific to that department, with someone who understands what that department does, right? So that you can really let them understand, these are the rules that really mess with what you do. And now let's understand how you can stay compliant with these rules and still do what you want to do. And I think this is a step that's really forgotten. And once you do that, then it becomes part of your day-to-day just to ask yourself, wait, can I do this? Can I not? Oh, I remember this happening. Let me check the internal policy. But that's not happening right now. Within marketing teams specifically, or let's say in email marketing, or anyone that's collecting data, right? Any analyst that's working with you, you are collecting a lot of personal data. You've got your email marketing list and you've got your transactions list, right? With emails that are there for a different reason. Keeping those separate is already a day-to-day hassle. Making sure that people who don't want to receive marketing aren't receiving marketing. We all know that there's always something that goes wrong with those lists. Also, standard practice for an email marketer, but we forget it, and it also helps for GDPR, is making sure your lists are accurate and clean. You know, we all have these bloated lists, especially for marketing, and half the emails aren't being sent anymore, or they're just not valid emails anymore. So sorting through all of that is really important. And it's just, you know, that is a lot of day-to-day work, but it's not specific to GDPR. It's also specific to your job and keeping the data that you are working with clean and accurate and workable, and knowing where it is. So companies handle this in various different ways. Smaller teams just run a yearly workshop, try and remind each other. Some larger teams bring in a consultant where, like, the marketers have a direct email they can just shoot questions to, and then they have a privacy day. I tend to steer away from privacy days because I think that training that is very broad doesn't necessarily help. I think it's a lot better to work with teams so that the teams can really understand what affects them and they don't have to sleep through the rest of the workshops. So these are a lot of things that kind of affect your day to day. And then obviously, whenever you onboard new tools, that's a classic, right? That you need to check if that tool is actually going to work and how that's going to affect your activities in regards to data internally. So if you bring in a new, if you're switching to ActiveCampaign or whatever it might be, then you need to understand how they're processing the data, who's processing the data, where it's going, so that you can record it, because you need to legally record how that's all working, and also understand what type of measures you might need to take to keep it more secure or compliant. So yeah, there's a lot, but that's more specific to, let's say, marketing teams.
I mean, I think one of the really insightful things you just said there was around how it's a whole company thing. It's not just the marketing team, and how there is the legislation and then there's how we are going to comply with that legislation. You know, it's not like GDPR comes down with a list of things you have to do. It gives you a whole load of gray area that you as a company have to decide how you're going to work on that and work with that. And then it's down to the teams to make it actually happen. And I think that bit in the middle of, okay, we're company X, or bad, don't go with X, Chloe, anything but X. We're company W, and this is what we are going to do. This is how long we're going to hold on to data. This is our approach to this. This is how we're reading the rules, and therefore this is how it gets implemented. I think that bit so often gets missed out by people. And then the other bit, I saw you talking about this the other day on LinkedIn, and I thought this is super fascinating, is the idea of deleting data. Because I think so often as marketers, we're like, we need it all, give me it all. And, you know, I, for one, bought a different business with a different database, and cleaning that up, because it had bloated, as all databases do, no disrespect at all to the previous team, but cleaning it up has been like a 12-month process of trying to work out what do we need, what don't we need, what can we just get rid of. And I have to say, getting to the end of the process has been brilliant. It feels so cool to have so much less data. But this is one of those things that should be part of our kind of yearly or monthly or quarterly process, isn't it?
It is, yes. I mean, I think, but this is, I always want to say that this is not a privacy or data protection thing. This is a running a business thing. Mm-hmm. The more data you have, the more chances of you having bloated data. And the more data you have, the less of it's going to be accurate, the less of it's going to be relevant. And it doesn't just cause issues in terms of security or if there's a data breach. It's also, it gives decision fatigue. It takes you so much longer to analyze it. You don't even know what to do anymore. Then suddenly, you know, your boss comes and says, okay, we need to understand how you've done for these KPIs and what are you going to do in terms of budget in the future? And you are digging through so much data that's useless that it's just, it's causing problems for everyone. It's causing problems for the business. But we are still very much in this like hoarder mindset when it comes to data. You know, but we might want to compare it to 5 years ago. We might want to compare how we did Christmas 7 years ago to this test because we need to show that we improved. But the truth is Christmas 7 years ago was completely irrelevant. We're so nervous about losing the data that we never flip that around and then say, well, what data do we actually need? And when I was a measurement marketer, I think this is one of the biggest things I learned is that my mentor told me, he's like, you do not keep anything you can't action on. You don't measure anything you can't action on. And when you think about it that way, then you only need very specific sets of data, right? It's not data just in case you might need it. It's data because you already know what decisions you're going to be making on that data in the future. And that can change every day. That can change when, you know, you run a new campaign and you realize that there are slightly different KPIs, but then you will make those adjustments. And then it's just as basic as, because if you're so not used to deleting data, then you're also not used to going through your email marketing list and deleting data, deleting emails. You know, you're used to hanging on to your transaction data. In a lot of countries, you have to, for tax reasons, hang on to it for quite a few years. But let's say your 7 years are up, then it's time to get rid of it. But you know how many companies I've worked with where they have 10 to 14 years worth of transaction data. They don't need it anymore. And that all gives you an additional risk. And this is, I think, where it's, again, it's a business decision. It's like you say, it's what, it's that gray area. You as a business need to decide, or you as a team need to decide what your view towards data is and what your data governance process is essentially. And you need to determine that and then set up a schedule accordingly. Because it could be that for certain businesses, 10 years worth of data is completely relevant. And then, but then everyone internally knows why and what they're keeping and how they're keeping it and where it's being kept secure. But if you're a kind of company where you only need it for 6 months, then get rid of it. But deleting's hard, I know. And then deleting causes its own problems, right? Because you need to make sure you're deleting it correctly. So, you know, that's a whole nother story. But it's just one of those things. You need to make sure it's deleted properly, that it's still not accessible. It's not just thrown, it's not left on some backup if you don't need it. But I have yet to see a situation where someone I've worked with has deleted a ton of data and then came yelling at me 2 years later saying, this was the worst decision I've made. What I've mostly heard is, thank God, now I actually have some clarity. I mean, you finally see what it is you need to see. So deleting data is queen. It really is. But it is also one of the hardest things to do.
It's emotionally hard, isn't it? But I like the fact you mentioned in there about where the data is as well. It's like, you know, if you need to keep it for a long time because you've got a, you know, for customer lifetime value analysis or something like that, that's probably sitting in one system, which doesn't mean you need it everywhere and on Maggie's laptop because she downloaded it 3 times last week. And, you know, it doesn't need to be in that Dropbox account we keep because we had some important stuff on it a few years ago. And Craig in accounts had a login, but he's left now. It's like, no, people, you know, the where is almost as important as the what sometimes with these things.
Hey, do you know how many Google Analytics accounts you've gone into and you see the list of users and you're, who are all these people?
It's forever frustrated me. I used to run an agency doing Google ads, and the number of access to people's Google Analytics and Google ads, I got bored of emailing them, telling them to please remove my access.
Right. You can't remove yourself. I have so many.
Yeah. I don't want to know how you're doing. You know, I hope you're doing well, but I don't want access to your stats. I don't want access to change your Google Ads budgets, and I've still got it. You know, and I'm a good person, I think. And you just think, wow, it's madness, isn't it? So we need to delete data. We need our systems to do that. What other things should we be regularly looking at? You touched upon keeping up to date where our data goes and things like this. What are the other bits and pieces of the GDPR mix that you find marketing teams in particular dropping the ball on at the moment?
I think a lot of what especially marketing teams are dropping the ball on is that they're just completely clueless as to where the data is going and what the data is doing and what data they're collecting. And one of the exercises I really like to do when I'm running a workshop with a marketing team is that we create, and it always starts as a game, and then suddenly people realize how lost and confused they are. But you essentially ask everyone to write down all the data they're collecting, like on little post-it notes. Just you think of something, you put it on a board or on the wall. And where is it? What system might be processing data? Where is it going? What's the reason for it? And you end up having all these stickers, or you think you're going to have hundreds. This is what they always say. Oh, there are too many. We're going to have the wall full. And then it ends up being just a few, because suddenly you realize that no one actually knows. And that's extremely dangerous. Because the email marketer is like, oh, I'm collecting emails. Okay, where are they being stored? Okay, so the email tool maybe, right? And then the analytics person, yeah, I'm collecting, you know, data in GA. Okay, where is it being sent from there on? Do you have Google Tag Manager? Where are you sending that data? What are you sending? You know, the people who are building audiences in Google Ads, how are you building those audiences? What parameters are you using? We're not talking about personal data yet. We're just trying to understand what data we're using. Right. And then what data are you using on a day to day to make decisions? Revenue data, transaction data. There are so much out there. And once you start asking questions to probe, that's when the wall starts filling up. And most teams go into a complete shock. But then the next step gets worse, because the next step is you need to start mapping all that. And it's essentially you're trying to create a data map just for the marketing team so that they understand how the data is flowing within their team. But what it does is it provides a lot of insights. It also almost always causes someone to say, well, we don't need this. We don't need that. We don't need this. This is a duplication of this. And that's really helpful, because it allows the team to take the decision to remove something. It's not me going in there saying, okay, so I'm the consultant here and you need to do what I want to do. That's not the case, right? I don't like playing that game anyway. But it's really helpful to have somewhat of a flow, like a flow diagram. Do it, you know, in whatever tool you want, and any mind map tool and mirror in your mirror board, create a flow, create an understanding of what's going on, know what you're using everything for. Because the moment you understand that, then when, you know, your legal team or somebody else comes and says, oh, we need your help with this DPIA, or we need this help with this understanding, this process, you already know. And the moment you know the way you are using the data and where it's going within your team, it's not about power, but you have such knowledge and such understanding that you can actually make valid decisions without having to get defensive, without having to guess. And then when somebody from a legal department or account or a consulting comes in and says, well, what personal data are you collecting? It's also very easy for you to process that, because you already have a visual idea of your map. Creating a map has always been an extremely important first step for most marketing teams I've worked with. If nothing else, it just reduces a tool or two or some processes that aren't required. And it just allows for some awareness. And that's the first step, is always awareness. Once you've gotten the awareness, then you can process further on from there.
I like it. And that map is both where the data is and what the data is.
It's what the data is, where the data is, what the purpose of the data is, why you're collecting it. Some people go as far as, how long are we keeping the data for? Because we have retention policies, right? Do you have GA4? What did you set it up for? 14 months? Are you sending it to BigQuery? It's there forever? What are you doing with it? Are you deleting it at any point? You know, your emails, do they delete after a while if no one opens? If no one opens your email that you've sent 6 months in a row, does it get deleted automatically? Does it not? So some people go as far as putting in retention times. The detail of the map comes down to the team. I would say that 60, 70% of the time that I've done this exercise, they want to add more detail once they get into it, because they realize the value of it. But ultimately, it's just about awareness. It's like everything, right? You can't pick something you're not aware of. So you first need to understand how everything works within your team. Don't think about the big company right now. Think about just your team or within your specific responsibility. Understand how everything works within your role or your team. Once you're aware, then you can start thinking, oh, I'm doing this. Is there a legal issue with that or not? But then you have a very specific question. You can ask a consultant, you can ask your legal team, you can ask your boss. But you can't ask your boss if you're not aware.
Yeah, I can imagine it must throw up more questions than it does pretty much anything else. So I think we'll just leave it there for the audience, guys. There you go. Go do that mapping project, maybe not in October, unless you're worried you've got a major problem. But this is definitely something to be working on as soon as you get past peak. Brilliant. Thank you so much, Siobhan. It's been very cool getting to pick your brains about GDPR. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Siobhan's insider tips on attribution and privacy and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your business. Did you know that Safari deletes all of your website's visitor data every 7 days? Since Apple deprecated third-party cookies, most brands' retargeted audience size has been slashed by 40%. Amerce fixes this in just one click. The Amerce first-party data app extends your data tracking to 1 year instead of 7 days, automatically adding 40% more customer data to your existing email flows and paid ads audiences. Brands with Amerce installed see 20% more email revenue and a 40% increase in event match quality across Meta and Google. It literally takes just 15 minutes to install and you never have to do anything after. Just let the revenue roll in. Sign up for your 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE. Okay, Siobhan, so far we've gone deep into GDPR. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of attribution and privacy. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with all of that, which of course does include everything we've already been talking about. Siobhan, are you ready for the insider tips?
Let's go.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, hopefully not their first step, but anyway, their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
And the most important thing for you to know is that there is really no right or wrong. There is right or wrong when it comes to the law, but when you're doing your first steps, pick anything we spoke about today and just attempt it. Get to know your data. Ultimately, it's all about getting to know your data in whatever way you want to, and then slowly understanding what regulates the data that you work with.
Makes it seem so simple, but you are, yeah, just get started is and understand your data. It does make so much sense. Now, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Yeah, improving is a lot harder. But once you're aware of what data you are collecting, really the best way to improve is usually to delete something. Just do it wisely, but removing in most teams, I'm not going to say all, but for most teams, removing some things that you don't need is going to give you a lot more clarity down the road.
Love that advice. Okay. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend?
So a little bit of a plug here, but I have what I call the Marketer's Privacy Hub. It's essentially a huge Notion board full of resources for the US, EU, and UK, specific for marketers, so they can see anything from flows and can I send this email, etc. So you can get that quite cheap. I think right now we're still at the intro rate, so it's below £50, I'm pretty sure. So you can go in there and you can really just go through any of the flow charts and let it help you understand what you can or cannot do.
And where does someone go to get that?
You can find it through my LinkedIn. That's probably the easiest way. Or you can go to my website. My LinkedIn is, you'll find me, Siobhan Solberg. There's only one of us around. my website, SiobhanSolberg.com or RaiseConsulting.io. And everywhere there, you can find me, find the Marketers Privacy Hub, my newsletter, or just follow me. And I speak about a lot of this stuff there too.
Brilliant. Okay. Finally, it's crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
Data protection, everything's changing all the time. But I would say that one thing to keep an eye on is that there's been a lot more enforcement. There have been a lot more warnings being sent to companies, even smaller companies, so that they're trying to shift that it's just not just big tech getting all the fines. I'm not suggesting you should be getting a fine or anything like that. But I would say that, you know, you might get a warning here or there. So it is probably a good time to start making sure you're at least compliant to, for like, you know, the basic set of compliance is done so that you can be ahead of the game.
Presumably it's a lot easier to deal with some enforcement if you can show you've actually started.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about best effort. If you can show that you've done a ROPA and you've done a DPIA and you've already recorded things, that's a lot better. You know, you have a privacy policy that's yours that you didn't copy from someone. You have a cookie banner that's somewhat compliant. That's probably a good step in the right direction.
Excellent. Okay, Siobhan, we're very nearly at the end of the show. So if someone listening is going, I need help, and they've got a question and they want to get in hold of you, how can they find you in your business?
Again, best way to find me is LinkedIn. I'm pretty active there. So it's Siobhan Solberg. Find me there. Shoot me a DM. Tell me you heard this. I'm always happy to answer a question or two. So don't be shy.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And Siobhan, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been great getting to talk GDPR with you. I feel both reassured and like there's a whole load of work I should have done. But I think that's just GDPR, isn't it? So thank you so much for being here. It's been really cool talking with you.
Thank you for having me, Chloe.
So GDPR, as I said at the start, everything we talked about, all those ways of processing things and so forth, 99% of it is relevant to whichever of the privacy legislation you are most focused on keeping in line with, I suppose. I love the idea of you have all those decisions clear at company level, and then you get it clear for the individual teams, and then the teams find a way to make it part of their day-to-day. So that's kind of regular training, regular reminding yourselves of it. And that mapping of the data piece as well. What data are we actually collecting? Where is it going? I imagine it probably take you a good afternoon to get that all worked out. And then probably another afternoon to action the immediate changes. But I would be very surprised if you can't get rid of a tool subscription, reduce some workload, or find something else that you could automate that would save the team time, especially if you've got people with a couple of different responsibilities in there. Could be a very good efficiency boosting task, as well as a let's be compliant and use our data well, and get deleting stuff carefully, obviously. But Siobhan's quite right. It feels great when you get rid of something. It feels really good, and it can make everything an awful lot easier when it comes to analysis too. Right. Before I repeat the whole episode, you can get the links to everything we discuss, the full transcript, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short link to go direct to the right page. Just put keepopt.com/ the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the right page of the website. When you get to the website, don't forget to add yourself to our email list, which we manage responsibly, of course, because then you won't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then why not scroll back a couple to episode 225, where we get into the cookie law side of all of this. And you can also find, I guess, more on email marketing, which is where this mostly feeds into, at keepopt.com/email. Please do tell your fellow marketers about the show, because I want to help as many of them as possible to improve the performance of their e-commerce marketing, which does involve A, staying on the correct side of the law, and also making the most of the data that you've got, which is kind of hand in hand with all the GDPR and data legislation stuff, is making good use of your data. Have a great week, and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Join top brands to gain 60% more tracked customer profiles and a 40% revenue boost in Klaviyo, Meta and Google Ads. Sign up for a 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE.